'Tis a beautiful love, the land we live. Let's start again. Excuse me. I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis a
true. Christ, my Savior, knew, trusting that I someday shall see, I'll see Jesus, my friend of Calvary. Oh, Jesus shall lead me.
If it wasn't for that Calvary, if it wasn't for your death on Calvary, we don't know where we would be tonight. When we look upon this town, when we look in this country, how many are tonight in various places enjoying themselves as if life will never end, as if one day they will never come to an end to give account of what they've been doing because of the life or the breath of life that you've given to them. Lord, we've come tonight in this place because we found that you are this truest friend that we have. We've come tonight to commune with you because you know that every evening you had a habit of coming down to fellowship with your creation, because
Amen.
In the fellowship that that's where we find really who we are. That's why we've come tonight, Lord Father, to meet with you, so that after everything that we've been through during the day, at work, at college, in various occupations, Lord Father, we've come tonight to finish our day with you, because we know that with you, everything is peace. With you, everything that we need of can find finally an answer. Lord Father, we commit ourselves in your hands. Throughout this service, we want to start with you, and we also want to finish with you. Let the man that will be sending here, our pastor, we didn't come here to hear one person. We didn't come here to show, to meet with each other, but we came here to hear from you, to talk to you, and to hear back from you. That's the only purpose for which we've come tonight. Lord, we want you to come down, anoint him as he will be standing here, that it might not be a human being talking, but it should be you talking through him, Lord Father, because you know that your words are life. That's why we've come here tonight, Lord Father, from the beginning to the end. We want you to be manifested in worship, and remain in the remainder of the service. We commit everything in your hand. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that song. Let's sing that song, Ancient Words, key G. Holy words, long preserved for our woe in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Of hope, give us strength and help us to grow. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us. Ancient words, ever true, changing me. Change.
changing you. We have come with open hearts, holding the ancient words in heart, holy words of our faith, handed down to the sea.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. As I journey through the land. singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from within without, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must win. So we winners tonight. It's key G, I think. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without, within. Oh yes, but my Lord leads me on. Through him I must. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares so past, home at last, ever to rejoice when in service for my Lord. But I cling more close to him. He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. Oh yes, but my Lord goes ahead, lead with death. Sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Home at past, home at last, ever to rejoice when in valleys low I look. Mountain high, and behold my Savior there, he's leading in the fight with the tender hand outstretched toward the mighty Lord. Hallelujah, guiding me as I see, as I on. Sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice when before me billows rise. Safely keep, and he leads me gently on through the swirl below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to say, look upon his face. To sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Years old past, home at last, yeah.
to rejoice.
Let's sing that song, My Sins Were Higher Than the Mountain, I think. Amen. We'll be happy when we get there. You know what we won't have when we get there? This old pest house. This pest house that just complains, can't sing, can't do anything. It's just negative. We'll be so happy. And we're singing about him and he's saying, wow, they're actually singing, oh, I want to see him. Wow, they want to see me. They will see me soon. Amen. And those who are saying, hey, be careful because you won't see him. It's your choice. Amen. I think, is it EO? Try it.
My sins were higher than the mountain when my Lord sanctified. Oh, my sins were higher than the mountain when my Lord sang in glory, sing in glory.
Alpha and Omega, amen. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, O Lord. You are worthy. You are Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. We give you glory. Sing that song. It's a song I had you sing that song, When Our Lord Shall Come to Earth Again. Amen. Sometimes those songs are not nice. Amen. Key G. When upon the clouds of heaven, Christ shall come to earth again. Amen. They'll be singing, they'll be praying, they'll be weeping. Key G. When upon the clouds of heaven, Christ shall come to earth again. Will the world be glad to see him? When our Lord shall come, they'll be singing, they'll be singing, they'll be shouting. When I
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. people might be glad to say. Some people can be glad to say they're a millionaire. I wish I could say the same. Some people might be glad to say this and that, but one thing I'm glad tonight, I'm one of them. I truly can say that. Whenever we sing that song, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. The greatest thing that ever happens in somebody's life is when Christ calls you to serve him. Now, there's no greater privilege, there's no greater honor. And friend, that's something which we can never be ashamed of and something we should always be glad to sing about is that we're one of them. And as we gather this evening, God bless everybody who's come. We want to also welcome Sister Rebecca from Switzerland. God bless you, sister.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Very glad to have you with us this evening. Let's open our Bibles. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6. Many people not here this evening. The devil's always busy. If we could be just as much on the post of duty as the devil is, I think we'd be doing well. He never misses an appointment. He never misses an opportunity. Brother David, on the way, his clutch broke, so he couldn't make it. Different people, different things. So let's come before the Lord and put this before the Lord. Ephesians 6 from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So saints, if you really think about what do we gather for? Now, what is the purpose? What was the message sent for? What are we gathered here for? Why are we having youth camp next week? Why did we invite Brother Barry to come the week after? It's because you want to put on the whole armor of God. Now, because of the day we live in, the conditions of the day and of the time, we really need to fulfill this scripture on a continual basis to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle. You know, so we're not fighting long distance combat here. We're wrestling against things. This time something will wrestle you when it's time to come to church. Something will wrestle you to try to get you sidetracked. Something will wrestle you here, wrestle you at work, wrestle you. You know, it's a wrestling match. This is close combat. Now, wrestling is eye to eye, face to face, strength to strength, to see who has the power to put the other one down in subjection. So Paul is saying we wrestle. We're in a wrestling, friends, this warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now he goes through the great variety of enemies that we're up against. We're not just fighting just one little spirit, but there's principalities. There's powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So the very ones that are generating this darkness that is pressing down with people, those are the very ones that we're facing on a daily basis in that invisible realm, in the spiritual realm. He says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, so the only way we're ever going to be effective resisting and overcoming these things, we've got to be in heavenly places because it's a spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's when we're walking as natural people, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are spiritual, but are powerful through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that's why we really need to keep rising up. Verse 13, we finish. Wherefore? So he says, all of those things before that, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for, Lord, that we can say that we are one of them. Thank you, Father, for sonship. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for gathering us upon this night. Father, we've gathered in your name. We've gathered under your jurisdiction. Lord, we've gathered under your authority. We've gathered under your purpose. Father, let your purpose be done. May you help us now, Father, even as we've been looking unto you upon this day. Father, bring in our petitions before thee, Lord, for these things that lay before us, Lord. Won't you help us to continue upon this evening, Lord? And Father, just bring us into a momentum. Is our desire, spiritually speaking, Lord, that as we'd gather together on Sunday, that as we'd gather next week, Lord, by your grace, that, Father, you may just, Lord, put an impetus, a momentum inside of our spiritual life, Lord, that, Father, where these things that have been holding us back, let them be broken, Lord. Where there's, Father, things, Lord, that have been a hindrance that you've been wrestling with for quite some time, Father, let this be the time we'd pray. Father, we pray for them that haven't managed to make it. Brother Wilmer at work, bless him, Lord. Brother David with his car, please fight his battle. Help him, Lord, upon this night, we pray. And each and every one of your sons and daughters, we commit them to you, Lord. Thank you for our sister visiting from Switzerland. You bless her as well. Father, we're looking unto you now. Bless your word unto us. Quicken us unto prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated, saints. Let's take a thought just before we come to pray. You know, we've come together today. We've been trying to put ourselves before the Lord today with one aim and one objective. And that one aim and objective is to seek for the blessing and the grace of God upon the meetings that you have coming before us. And like I was saying, you know, what we're desiring as youth, we're desiring to be ministered to so the Lord can minister us that spiritual armor so we can better put on the whole armor of God and better know how to use and utilize the armor that's been given unto us. And then as we move from the youth meetings straight into Brother Barry coming, three meetings, family meetings, wanting to have a look at different things there, whatever the Lord would lay upon his heart. I'm sure there's things in your family that you would desire, grace and mercy, and for the Lord to minister to you certain things and answer certain things and, you know, equip us in a better way. You know, so we'd want to come to the end of these meetings having fulfilled in a better way what Paul said, having better put on the whole armor of God so that we can be more effective as soldiers in his army, whether it be as youth, whether it be as husbands, wives, children, whatever that it is inside of the family. You know, that is the purpose that we really want to put ourselves before the Lord. But obviously in the other dimension as well, in that spiritual realm, there's these powers and these principalities, there's this wickedness, and they want to frustrate. They want to press people down. They want to bring depression, discouragement. They want to bring misunderstanding. They want to do whatever they can do because they know the potential. When the sons and daughters of God come together, they know the potential of what could take place. You know, sometimes, and they sense it, and they can have even a greater expectation than us many times because now they're dwelling in that spiritual fear, that spiritual dimension, whereas many times we get ourselves weighed down by the things of the flesh, and the spiritual realm is not that real to us at any one time. So, you know, if you really think, if we could put ourselves into the spirit of what Paul was saying, when he said, put on the whole armor of God, it's like Paul has an urgency here. He's saying, hey, you people, you're in a battle. You're in a great warfare. You know, there's so much against you. You know, there's so much trying to come against you, powers and principalities and all of these things. So it's like saying, hey, people, we don't have time to waste here. No, it's like Paul, if he could really come and speak to us today, I'm sure he could be telling us that, hey, brothers, this is a fierce battle. Sisters, this is a fierce battle. You know, we don't have much opportunity. There's a lot of other things in this life that you've got to do. So when we do come together, we need to seek the grace of God to make the best use of the time that is given us, make the best use of the resources that he sends our way. You know, we don't want to be just like Paul says, beating the air. You know, we don't want to be just gathering for the sake of, well, you know, just because other people are gathering, let's gather together. I mean, imagine if you went to the army camp and you asked somebody there and you said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I just saw other people coming in the gates. So I thought I'd come along as well. I mean, that person doesn't know why they're a soldier. They don't know why they're there. But when you get called into the army, any brother who's been there, no, you're given equipment, you're given resources, you're given training, you're given a certain length of time. And in that specific length of time, you have to learn to use your resources, use your weapons. Now, you have to get trained up in the contest, like the prophet says. You know, so each of those people that are in the army, in whatever division they're in, you know, they know why they're there. When they wake up tomorrow morning and that man comes and wakes them up at 6 o'clock and says, you know, put on your boots and get out to the square. You know, they know exactly why they're there. They know, look, we're here for this period of time because we need to be trained up in the weapons of our warfare. We need to be trained up in the skills so that we can be effective as soldiers in the military to each of us achieve the purpose that we've been enlisted under. And friends, if that's how it is in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? Amen. Now, how much more in the spiritual do we need to realize and understand and recognize, you know, what are we here for? Mm-hmm. You know, I just put it down here again. I've spoken several times before, but always I go back to it a lot is, no, that Clausewitz, the man who was the great man who came up with the methods of war, and he came up with the 10 principles of war, and I don't think we ever looked at all 10, but we looked at a few of them. But the very first principle of warfare, when they teach it in the military schools, Clausewitz was a great man. He was a soldier from the age of 13. He died at the age of 51. But he was in war. He lost. He was in a war and he lost against Napoleon when he was a young man. And then he learned from that. He was captured and then he was released after about a year. And then he became a great general in the Prussian army. And he was such a genius at war that he wrote 9 volumes, 9 books on the art of war, on total war. That's what he called it. And he spoke of how everything needs to work together in order for things to work in war. And right up to today, they study Clausewitz in all of the military academies because he really caught the vision of what it was all about. And he condensed it down pretty clearly. And the very first principle of war, if you remember when you looked at it before, was your objective. Now, everybody has to be clear in the objective. You know, if you have a soldier in the army or you have a general, a captain, someone who's in intelligence, somebody who's in transport, somebody who's in whatever, a quartermaster, you know, if the person doesn't know the objective of what they're trying to achieve, what kind of soldier are they? You know, so the very first thing that the chief commander, whoever it is, has to instill in the troops, no matter which regiment, which battalion that they're in, he has to get it clear to the people what the objective is. You know, and the Bible says where there's no vision, people perish. Now, if we don't know the objective of this youth camp, friends, we're not going to get much from it. If we don't know the objective of having Brother Barry to come on the family meetings, if we don't know the objective of us gathering together tonight, no, it's very hard for us to achieve the purpose that we're supposed to achieve. But when people can unite themselves together and have a clear understanding of the objective, friend, it's very difficult to beat them. Now, they might be numerically inferior. They might have less troops than another army. But if an army really knows what it's there for, during the Second World War, when Hitler was being beaten, that the German troops were far superior than the Allied troops. The reason the Allies beat them was because they had far more troops and far more weapons. But if you took one battalion of Germans against one battalion of anybody else, they would have beaten them because that had been instilled in them from when they were young. They were brainwashed in the Hitler Youth and so forth. They were trained about the glory of the fatherland and we need to restore the honor of the fatherland. And they came from all the countries around the world back to the fatherland and they were, and it was all lies they were told, but they were told about the supremacy of the Aryan race, you know, and that we have to restore the Reich. Now, the empire that they used to be in. And those young men, they caught that vision. They were mistaken. They were misled, deceived. But the German people caught a vision. So when Hitler came and said, there's going to be some hard times, but we want to, you know, extend our territory and reclaim Austria and all the different things which they were going to do. Now, the German people were behind it. And that's why it was very hard for people to beat them. Because they knew the objective, they had a purpose, they had a vision and a goal. Like I said, no matter how mistaken that they were, but when you find people with a vision, that's how the Lord came down at the Tower of Babel, because he saw these people have got an objective. They've united around an objective. They've all got a vision of what they're trying to achieve. And it brought God down to see himself. And he says, I'm going to have to confuse the language, because when people get like this, you can't stop them in what they're wanting to do. You know, it's the same as us, friends, as we approach these meetings, as we approach whatever it is spiritually that's before us. Now, let's come tonight and this weekend and before we come to these meetings and really ask ourselves to say, but Lord, now, is the objective of these things clear to me? Why am I going to this camp? What am I wanting to achieve at this camp? What is my aim? What is my objective? What is my goal? Now, what am I seeking for? What am I seeking after? And if you have an objective inside of your life, friend, it's not easy for the devil to keep you down. He may give you a punch and down you'll go, but you're going to get up again. Because, you know, I haven't yet fulfilled my objective. And Paul was the same. He says, I'm not yet made perfect. Neither have I yet attained. But this one thing I do, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And friend, we'll see it maybe on Sunday by the grace of God, why God sent us the message. Friends, the message is a powerful thing. And if we can really catch the vision of the purpose of the message and keep that ever before us, everything else that takes place is working towards one great objective that God has. And that's why the objective, firstly, it must be clearly defined. You know, so we really need to know, you need to know, I need to know, when I go along to these meetings that are coming up, why am I going? Am I going there just to be one of the number? Am I going there just because, you know, people are going to expect me to be there? Or am I going there with a specific purpose and objective in mind? That I want to meet Christ. that I want in certain things in my life. I want a turning point. Now, there's certain things that I've been wrestling and fighting against, and I haven't obtained mastery over them yet, but I'm looking unto the Lord that as He gives us an extended series of meetings, that it's not just going to be protracted meetings like the prophet said, but that there'll be something that'll bring a spiritual momentum, that it can be a turning point. Now that something can change permanently, that where there's questions that I'm seeking from the Lord, I'm going with an objective because I want the Lord to answer those questions. Where there's things I'm not sure of, things which I don't fully understand. Friend, I want to go there with an expectation in the Lord to say, Lord, my objective here is when I leave this place, I want to be better equipped as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Paul says. I want to be more effective in my calling. I want to be more zealous in my calling. But Lord, you see the warfare that I'm in. I need you to minister to me in the spiritual realm. Now come and renew that spiritual armor, each of these parts of the spiritual armor. I need these things. So the prophet says that. He says, when you're speaking about the objective, must always be clearly defined. You must know your objective. The prophet says, you must know that you called, otherwise you'll be defeated. We've said it many times. No, you must really know. If you don't know that God called you, if you can't sing today and say, I'm so glad that I can say that I'm one of them, God's granted you grace. Because starting next week and starting on Sunday, next week and the week after, there's plenty of opportunity for the Lord to minister to you and meet you and visit you in whatever situation that you're in. If you go with the right objective. If you'll prepare yourself and go, you're not a double-minded kind of a person. But if you go to that place having raised your expectation through prayer, raised your expectation by listening to the message of the hour, got yourself as much as you can into tune, going with an objective, going with a focus. Doesn't matter what tries to pull you this way or that. No, it's okay. These are secondary things. I have an objective that I'm seeking at this time. Is I need a fresh visitation from Him. I need a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ to my soul. And I need a change in this area of my life. I need the Lord to visit me. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do here. You know, I've been wrestling with this, like I say, for a long time. I've been praying about this for a long time. But surely, Lord, let it be that I can say, Father, the hour has come. You know, you want that kind of a thing when we're coming together. So we need to really know, what are we fighting for? And if I asked you the question at this time here, you know, what are your immediate objectives now? Because there's the overall objective of the army. Maybe the overall objective, we need to capture Berlin, yeah? But then there's the secondary objectives. And the secondary objectives now, in order to get to Berlin, we need to capture this river. And you need to get that bridge. And you need to overcome those forces that are in the forest over there. So each troop or each battalion will have its own immediate objectives, but the immediate objectives must all work towards the overall objective. And friend, each of us have immediate objectives now. You know, to those that are given to music, they're trying to seek the mind of God to say, Lord, can't you help us as we get to the camp that, you know, we might be in tune with your heart, in tune with your mind as to, you know, what is the theme? What is the how do you want us to minister the people into what kind of an atmosphere? You know, to the people that are arranging things, the trustees and that, they've got immediate objectives. They want to make sure that all the sound equipment is right and all the logistics are put in place and there's people responsible for transport. And, you know, they've got an immediate objective at this time now that they want to, you know, play their part. They want to make the oil, make the machine move smoothly through prayer and seeking the face of God. To the ministers, they seek in the face of God to say, but Lord, what is your real objective? What is your vision for bringing all of these young people together from different places, different countries, and so forth? No, there's a purpose, Lord. You, the great commander of the forces, you have a reason for bringing people together at this time. Now, that's the overall objective. And if each of us then in our own immediate objectives at this time as we pray can be seeking to say, Lord, I want to make sure I play my part well. That I'm contributing the best that I can to this overall objective that you want to see established at this time. You know, so there's these objectives that we've got to do. So there's always the ultimate objective and there's other immediate objectives. But all these immediate objectives must contribute towards that. That's why if you ask yourself the question at this time, why are you listening to the messages that you listen to at this time? Are the messages you're listening to, you know, aiming at a certain objective? Are they ministering you towards a certain objective? If you're seeking for healing, maybe you're listening to certain faith messages because you've got an overall objective. You know, so all of the immediate things you're doing on a daily basis are all working towards something which you're desiring the Lord to achieve inside of your life. You've got a goal. You've got some vision, some purpose that you're aiming at. Why are you reading those chapters in the Bible that you're reading at this time? You know, or do you have an objective, or is it just one of those times like we all have in life, you know, that, okay, let me read something this morning, and you open it up and it's, you know, some genealogy somewhere in the middle of the Bible that doesn't make much sense. You know, you don't really want to. We don't have much time, friends. We don't have much opportunity in this life. We don't want to be wasting the opportunities, wasting the resources. We want to be seeking the chief captain tonight once again to say, Lord, get me back in focus. Get me back in harmony. Minister me into the right frequency once again, that although I may not see things clearly at this time, but at least, Lord, point me in the right direction once again, that as I get up tomorrow in the morning, that there might be some leadership in the choice of messages that I listen to. That as I get on my knees in these days that are laying before in prayer, I want my prayer to be, you know, prayed according to your will, that you lead and guide me, that even my prayer life, even the, you know, the requests and the petitions that I'm putting before you are quickening and stirring something up in the heavenly realm that's all working towards this great objective that you have. You know, friends, without the objective, you know, an army can be so well trained. You know, they have such excellent weapons. And friends, we've got such excellent weapons. We've got the greatest weapons of all the church ages. We have such a revelation, such an unveiling of God in our age. We've been given such spiritual resources in this age. But friends, we really need to seek His face and His grace to say, Lord, help each of us that you might be faithful stewards of these resources, to use these things the right way as we come towards these meetings. So once you know your objective, what's the second thing you need? Is the offensive. Now you know your objective, now you take the initiative. And that's why the Lord many times, He has the conference with God, and He calls us apart, and He gives us opportunity, and He shuts us away in Newgrange from Wednesday up to Saturday, 8 services, and 3 afternoons where you can fellowship and do other things or pray or do whatever that you want to do. Now, there's plenty of opportunity in that season, in that time, to, you know, for the Lord to, He's called us away, calling away from the busyness of life, calling you away from your normal environment and your next door neighbors and the pressures of work, pressures of college, pressures of school, troubles in the home, troubles, whatever they are. Now, the Lord calls you away once again. And you know why He does that many times? It's because He sees we've lost the initiative. Amen. Yeah, we're not in control of things now. The devil's in control. And we're now reacting to situations. Oh, look what the devil's doing there. Oh, look what happened there. And we don't have the initiative. It's like the devil gets to the stage that we are on the back foot now. You know, it's like the children of Israel with Goliath for 40 days. They were on the back foot. It was the devil dictating the terms. He was the one speaking with a bold voice. Yeah, and then the Lord had to do something, had to bring David on the scene. Now, there had to be something to come and change the field of battle so that those people that before, up to then, were on the back foot, on the defensive, now they could take the initiative once again. And it just takes one event. It just takes one person in the Spirit. It just takes one anointed service. It just needs one anointed prayer meeting. It can change the whole atmosphere of things. Amen. When inside of your life, it seemed for weeks, things have been negative. Things aren't working well. Everything's going contrary to the way. Friend, God doesn't need a majority to change the situation. God just needs one sincere heart. Amen. He just needs one person in His hands to say, Lord, no, enough is enough. No, to be like Shamgar, like the prophet says. And the enemy was coming, trump, 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 down the road all the time. And coming and taking away all of the fruits of his inheritance. And then one day Shamgar said, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And something stirred inside of himself. And he stood as a son of the covenant. And he took the ox goad. And he slew those Philistines. Friend, it's just got to be like it. And sometimes the Lord wants to get us away to say we need to change the order of battle here. You know, you don't ever win a battle when you're on the defensive. The defense, they say in the order of war, defense is necessary sometimes for a short space of time so you can regroup. But then you need to take the initiative once again. No, so sometimes maybe we need to get away. Jesus says, come apart and rest for a while. No, we need to come and get the spiritual armor back on and let the belt be girded properly on again. And no, once again, take up the sword of the Spirit and now let the shield of faith now do its job. And you need to polish things up and let them spiritually become effective once again. And that's why the Lord now sometimes he gives us special meetings, conventions, and all these kind of things. That's his objective. The prophet says, a conference, what is the purpose of a conference? He says, you go and you meet with God, and he gives you fresh orders, and you go forward now, and he goes with you. And that's what we're desiring. Is that not your desire in these meetings, friends? We've got to have our objective right. Now we've got to have some goals. What are we trying to achieve in these things? Why are we spending the money that we do? Why are we putting all the effort into these things that we do? Friend, there's got to be a spiritual objective in these things. And as we come together in prayer, even this night, we need to focus our prayer and unite ourselves together on that one great objective. You know, that all these other things are secondary, friends. You know, our problems and our debts and all those kind of things. Yes, those things do come. They try to sidetrack us. But as a son or daughter of God, the Lord wants to minister you beyond that. He wants to minister you back to take the initiative once again. Now, the prophet says, faith takes the initiative. You know, he says, faith rises up and says, shut up, I got the floor. Now, when the devil's been speaking for too long, you need the shield of faith. You need the sword of the Spirit once again. You need the helmet of salvation. You need the mind of Christ to be real once again. Now, you take that whole armor of God. It's a spiritual armor. And sometimes that spiritual dimension, the reality and effectiveness of that armor, just through the attrition of battle, being worn out in battle, you start to run out of ammunition. And this gets worn out and this gets worn out. And you need to come back on a regular basis to get yourself renewed. And that's what you would desire as we'd go. That's how the prophet says, take the initiative and stand there. Hallelujah. You know, so let's take the initiative. If you don't have the initiative, if things are going in a defensive way inside of your life, that's why we have times of consecration. That's where we have times of prayer. That's where we have times that before even we get to the camp, get to these places, we want to turn things around. We want to have some initiative. We want to have some impetus, some momentum going into those meetings. And imagine how it's going to finish up if we start like that. But friends, we're in a battle. We all know it's a wrestling match. We know the enemy is going to be wrestling you with a headache, and it's going to be wrestling you with troubles at work, and it's going to be wrestling with you not enough money to pay the rent and all these kind of things. Real things that happen inside of war. Yeah, but you've got to keep the overall objective before us and keep focusing and concentrating our forces. That's the third thing. If you want to fight effective war, it's called concentration. Concentration is to mass your forces at a critical time and place for a decisive action. So you find the great through the intelligence in the army, you know, and the great strategists and, you know, the generals and whoever, the field marshals, they get together and then they see a certain place, a certain river crossing, a certain weakness in the enemy lines. And although the enemy might have a greater number of forces and better equipment than them, but battles are won or lost based on concentration. If you just concentrate your forces at exactly the right place at the right time, you can break through the enemy's lines and steal the initiative. You go and read of some of the great men of the past, some of those great people like Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great once, he won a battle. I think he had about 10,000 men. And he fought against the Persians. They had 50-something thousand. And Alexander the Great, just because of his military genius, he tricked the enemy. And he went parallel to their forces, and the enemy forces opened a small gap, and then Alexander the Great went like a spearhead with his troops straight into that gap. And he put the enemy to flight, and that's how he beat them, with a quarter of the number of troops. Friends, do you know that Satan has no power over you and I? But he finds an opportunity. He finds a weakness. We're feeling depressed. We're not feeling like we're Christians anymore. We're having a bad day. This didn't go right. This person said this and that about us. And he comes when we're down and he seizes the opportunity and he concentrates his forces at that time. Like with Job, you'll find a lot of things will just go wrong one after the other. That's not natural. For your children all to die, your crops all to be burnt up, all your cattle and camels to be stolen. All those, and then your wife tells you, curse God and die. All at the same time. Satan knows this principle of concentration of forces. That when you have an opportunity, seize the initiative. Concentrate, focus on that thing. Now, friends, we're going to go for a camp. What an opportunity for us to concentrate our forces together. The Lord's already doing it for us. He's bringing ministers there. He's bringing people from different countries, musicians and song leaders. And he's bringing a lot of people together in a certain place at a certain time. Do you think that's just a chance? No, this is under a divine program. Amen. You see, because when God gets the right people in the right place at the right time, friends, the potential is great for something to happen. And he knows that, and he's brought people in. And maybe Satan was trying to stumble certain people, hinder people from getting there. Just unexpectedly, this person got given leave from their company. Unexpectedly, this person got enough money to buy a ticket to come. And all those different things. And the Lord will be bringing his army together, sometimes under the radar. The enemy won't even be realizing what's going on. And then when now the time comes, it's a critical mass. There's a critical mass of people at the right place at the right time. And friends, that's where now, seize the initiative and use the initiative when you do that. You've got to sense that. And then the final point we'll look at is pursuit. Once you have the enemy on the back foot, once you have the initiative, pursue your enemy. You know, once you start sensing the victory, once you start seeing the situations changing, once there's a turning point inside of your experience, the prophet says, destroy your enemy before your enemy destroys you. Now, when you know you can smell victory, when you've got the enemy on the run, you pursue that enemy until you totally crush him down, until he can never rise again. Don't stop too soon. Amen. Don't allow him to regroup. Don't allow him just to get away and he'll come and attack you again. But friends, when you go to the camp and the quickening power starts to come and the Lord starts dealing with you about certain things, don't stop short. You know, when you've got the initiative, when the Lord, you can sense that he's moving, when now all of a sudden you've got a faith and a boldness and you've got now some authority over those things that you didn't seem to have spiritual authority over before, you use that authority. And you pursue that enemy. And you keep in prayer and you stay in that channel of the Spirit. And you allow the Lord to minister you and minister you until, friends, you've clinched that nail and that nail ain't coming out there no more. And when you come from there now, you'll no more be Jacob, you'll be Israel. There'll be a permanent change. You know, you might have had your little times before, but this time it's different. This time you're going to stay until. You know, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with the whole armor of God, with power from on high. Now you sense, this is my opportunity. This is the season. I'm not leaving this place. I'm not going from this place the same. And friends, you can sense it inside of your soul when those seasons come, those seasons of your visitation when the Lord draws near. Use those opportunities, saints. That's the important thing. Let's finish off with what the prophet says in the contest. Because what are we going for? We're going to go to be trained how to use the weapons of our warfare, our resources, in a better way. He says in the contest, he says, people don't believe in demons in this day. But the thing to do, in my opinion, is know your enemy. Our friends, sometimes the enemy can disguise himself. That's what that warfare is about, deception, subterfuge, espionage, you know, all these kind of things. No, you won't even know that it's the enemy. You'll just see all these things happening inside of your life and say, but what's going on inside of my life? And then now you get in the presence of the great intelligence himself, the Word. And the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And through the revelation of the Word, the plans and purposes of the enemy start being unveiled before you. And you start saying, but this is the devil. This is the devil who's been doing these things inside of my life. Now, the prophet says, know your enemy. We need to know him. We need to recognize who he is. You know, that spirit of lust, you know, those spirits of pornography, all those things that bother young people. We need to really come to the stage that spiritually speaking, we see this is my enemy. This is a demon power. This is something that's wrestling with me and is overcoming me. This is something that's holding me back from the fullness of my calling. This is something that if I don't overcome this objective now, how am I ever going to achieve the full objective of Shayihim? Yeah, how am I ever going to achieve the full objective? The prophet says, know your enemy and train for the contest. Amen. That's what we're gathering for, friends. We wanted to know our enemy and we wanted to train for the contest. Amen. Yeah, we went in there. And look, friends, we have the greatest teacher, the Holy Ghost. Amen. The eagle anointing in this age. My, we have such intelligence in this age. The unveiling of the seals. We know exactly who the enemy is. We know exactly what his battle plans are. We know exactly how he works. St. Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices. But sometimes we can get our eyes filmed over because of the things we've been going through. And we need to go and have the other eagles come and drop the food down to us in the valley of decision where we are. And we need our strength to be renewed as you wait upon the Lord. And then we start seeing things the way that they really are once again. And friend, one thing they say in this principles of war, everybody in your army is not your enemy. There's not a single person in your army who's your enemy. Yeah. But friend, we can end up when you're not, you know, in his presence. I mean, things start getting, we can start, you know, thinking that others are our friends who are enemies and enemies who are our friends. You know, we need to get ourselves back in his presence and he needs to minister those things to us and make it clear that you might know our enemy and train for the contest. He says, train for the contest that you're going to have when you meet him. Because you're going to meet him. We meet him on a daily basis. And when you leave the camp, you're going to meet him. And when you finish the family meetings, we're going to meet him. And if we haven't allowed those meetings to fulfill the objective, which is to equip us for the contest, to put on the whole armor of God so we can stand in the evil day beyond the camp and we can now continue with the initiative and possess more of inheritance and so forth. If you don't really know what the objective is, friends, we can be worse off than we were in the beginning, which we don't want it to be. The prophet says, know him. Know what his strength is. That's what we're wanting to be ministered to us. We want to know the enemy in this age. We want to know about social media. We want to know about video games. Now, we want to know about Satan's Eden. We want to know what the enemy is up to. We want to know how he's overcoming young people. We want to be able to recognize the enemy. It's not enough just to recognize the enemy. Then we want to be clothed in armor. Then we want to be quickened with the authority and the power, which sometimes we lack and we need, so that we can now gain the initiative over that enemy that's been gaining the initiative over us. So we're gathering together. We wanted to know our enemy. And we wanted to know the great strategy of the great master as well. And we wanted to be trained for the contest so we can be better soldiers when we come out of these meetings. Know what his strength is. He says, for one thing sure, you're going to meet him. So you train for the contest. He says, now, training for the contest is just like a boxer. His enemy that he's going to meet out there in the contest to fight, a real good fighter usually knows and studies his opponent. Ah, friend. But we have an opponent. He doesn't show himself. He hides himself in the shadows. He's an opportunist. He uses opportunity, disguises himself in the things that he's doing. But let's bring ourselves now into heavenly places when we get there. In heavenly places, when the voices come up higher, we now see things where that we are. We now see who the white horse rider is. We now see who the red horse rider is. We now see he's a bluff. He's a deceiver. Oh, the pale horse rider. But it's when you're raised up into that place and the seals are broken, we can now see the enemy for he is. He says that a good fighter knows and studies his opponent. He studies his licks. He studies his punches. Our friends, it's good for us to update ourselves and understand Satan's punches in this age. through Hollywood, through all of the styles, the fashions, and all of these things that are knocking out the youth of this age, but not in the message. Because in the message, we have the whole armor of God. But we need now to be trained to use that armor. How do we put on this armor, these resources that have been given unto us in this age? That's what we need as young people, to know how to better use the resources, to better use the armor that's been given. That's my prayer and my desire, to say, Lord, minister to us that we might be more effective in these things. Clothe us in that armor once again, that we might stand in that evil day. To finish, he says, he studies his licks. He knows where he fights from. No, so he knows that, hey, this fighter, there's this one, I can't remember the name of this big fighter that's out there now from Ukraine. But he has such an unusual posture. Nobody can overcome the guy. He had 397 amateur fights. He won 396 of them. They say he's one of the greatest boxers ever. I watched a little bit of him on YouTube and how he trains and so forth. But the prophet says if you're fighting someone, you've got to be able to study where he fights from. Does he fight from the back foot? Like he says, is he southpaw? Is he, you know, north paw, whatever you call it, left hand, right hand? You got to know your enemy, where that blow is going to come from. And my friend, if you don't study the enemy, you'll be like Samson. You'll end up having a knockout blow down the way that you never expected because you didn't study the enemy. You didn't realize, you know, the subtlety and the tactics and the plans of the enemy. So we need to know where he fights from. Whether he leans forward or he hangs back. Whether he fights right-handed, left-handed. He studies all of this. And a good fighter gets a sparring partner. That'll fight just like his opponent fights. So friends, when you're sparring in the ring, yeah, when you're training, you know what it is? It's the contest before the contest. You're training in that environment. So when you get out of there into the real thing, you'll know exactly what you need to do. Friends, we go into the training camp. It's a sparring match. No, through revelation, through visitation, through the examples from the word, through the examples from the message of the hour. Friends, it'll be the contest before the contest. We've been learning about the contest, learning about the enemy, learning about his tactics. That when you come away from them, we get into the real battle now. Nothing will take us by surprise. When he comes that way, we're expecting him to do that. When he tries that, we can block him because we're expecting him to do that. And also, we've studied his weaknesses as well. And we know what he doesn't like. And when he opens that up, we take the initiative. The prophet is a sparring partner that will fight just like his opponent fights. For he'll know all of his licks when he gets to that place. So by the time you get to the main contest, you'll know all of the blows, all of the punches. And friends, in every age, the devil has been changing his approach. He's been building up his apparatus, his mechanics. And we just need to be updated as well as to the tactics of the enemy. Then he finishes off, he says, and then train for the knockout punches. Because you're going to have to use them. There's going to be certain sicknesses going to come in your life that if you don't destroy that enemy, that's going to destroy you. You're going to have certain things that are going to rise up. Certain girls are going to rise up that if you don't overcome that weakness inside of yourself, that is going to totally knock you out of the contest. You know, so you've got to study the how can I make a knockout punch? Now, how can I finish this problem once and for all? Is that not what we want to gather at the camp for, friends? That the Lord might come and minister unto each and every one of us in those areas of our life where we've been on the defensive and the enemy's been giving us some blows. But by faith, by revelation, by visitation, by the atmosphere that's there, the Lord might allow us, while we're there, to make the knockout blow. That one time something takes place, like I'm saying, like Jacob, where you're never going to be the same again. And you'll come back from there and say, yeah, the Lord really did something to me in that place. The prophet says you have to train to hit your enemy. As always, God uses his word. So we wanted to be trained in the use of the sword of the Spirit more. That great weapon of the word. How to use that, the revealed word, the sword of the Spirit. To face up to the enemy. That when he says, turn the stones into bread, it's written. You can say it's also written. Man shall not live by bread alone. That when he says, cast yourself off, it's written. He'll give his angels to bear you up. And you'll say, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, that you will have the sword of the Spirit, that when the enemy comes and tries to pull you this way and that, friend, you would have trained for the contest. So friends, we have a real objective before us, you know, for each and every one of us. Won't you be disappointed coming through these meetings in the next 2 weeks and still being the same as you are now and still struggling with the same weaknesses and still having the same depressions and oppressions and good days and bad and lack of momentum and all those kind of things? Is that the way we want it to be? That's not the way the Lord wants it to be. And surely the very proof of his purpose is that he's gathering us together in a certain place at a certain time. And is bringing to us now people, ministry, that can minister that whole armor of God. That if you're needing the shield of faith to be energized in a greater way, the Lord wants to quicken our faith. That if the sword of the Spirit is not doing the job anymore, because our hand is weighed down for some reason, he wants to quicken us so that we can better use the resources that is given unto us. I think that's the greatest need that we have. We don't need anything new, friends. I don't think we need anything new. I think we just need grace and revelation and an atmosphere to better use the resources that we know that we've already got. But it all starts in prayer. Because when Paul finishes off the whole armor of God, what's the last thing? He says, praying always in the Spirit with supplication and prayer. You know, so we need to come together to say, Lord, thy will be done in these meetings. Help us, Lord. Continue to quicken us and prepare us and bring us unto that place. And clothe these ministers. Let them be ministering spirits and come and minister to us. Clothe the musicians. Restore Brother George and give him the strength. Grant him the unction and the musicians and all the logistics and the transport and the people that will be traveling. Friends, it's an army. There's all these different divisions and all these different tasks all working together for one end that Christ wants to meet with his people. So let's stand, saints. Let's put this before the Lord. Let's just sing one chorus before we come before the Lord, to put these desires before the Lord. Let's sing that chorus. Oh, do you have one, Brother Joe? Yeah, that's okay, right?
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to your heart's cry. Oh, he's by. Where are you rushing? By this moment, your needs to supply. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord.
Over my soul. Let's sing it from our heart, saints. Say, Lord, sweep over my soul. Whatever the Lord lays upon your heart. As the prophet says, maybe you'll be the one to say the right thing and make a difference and make a change. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Father, we're looking unto thee, Lord, upon this evening, Lord. Just so needy, Father. In an attitude of prayer. Let's really come and pray for the arrangements for these meetings, especially for transport, that the Lord might be in that, that everything would be safe, that everything would work the way that it should. Let's pray for the transport of the young people that are coming, all the logistics and the arrangements, that everything will come together. Let's pray for the ministers. If you haven't prayed for them, let's really pray the Lord would overshadow them, that the Lord would really quicken them. And saints, let's not forget, let's pray for the souls of every young person that will be there. Let's really pray that the Lord will visit every single soul. Many young people in the valley of decision. Many young people seeking for power to overcome certain things. Let's look to the Lord and say, Lord, while on others thou art calling, do not pass anybody by. But may the Lord go down every seat and visit every soul, and that everybody will have there from that time. That the Lord would really give them a season and a time of visitation. Let's just pray once more. Let's put these particular requests before the Lord, the final arrangements as we just get everything together for these meetings, for the trustees, putting the equipment, for all the other things that needs to be done. Let's just pray that the Lord would really be the oil in the machine, that it would be like it was in the building of the Temple of Solomon, that when everything came together, there was no sound of an axe, there was no sound of a hammer, because everything just fitted together the way that it should. Let's put this once more before the Lord, and then we ask Brother Max maybe to come to commit us all before the Lord. Let's pray one more time. Started even from there, it's fine, bro. And Brother Max can come and close for us. Sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your
soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete, oh, as I sit, oh, at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Lord, we came in, and Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us. Father, we thank you for this youth meeting that is coming on. And one thing, Lord, we know, it is no other person who arranged and planned it than you, Lord Jesus yourself, God. So, Father, we know that, Lord, there are good purposes for calling this meeting, Lord Jesus. One thing we know, that, Lord, you called your children so that you positionally place them in the body of Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that, oh God, you help your children as even they prepare to come. Lord, let them come with all humility, Lord Jesus, with broken spirit and a contrite heart, Lord. Father, we pray the Lord Jesus, they will realize the objectives, oh God, for which, Lord, you call this meeting. The Lord, they will abandon, oh God, their own thoughts, their own ways. And Father, they will just cling, oh God, onto your word, Lord Jesus. Father, we first, Lord, commit the ministers that you are going to use, Lord, into your hands, oh God. Father, you know everyone that is coming, their weaknesses and the things that easily besets them, oh God. Father, they want to overcome. They know very well that this world can never give them anything, oh God. So, Lord, we commit the ministers into your hands. The Lord Jesus, you will speak through them, oh God, because you know every child. You know every thought. You know every weakness. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that, oh God, your ministers, the Holy Spirit, will overshadow them, oh God, and that they will minister, Lord, to the needs of everyone, oh God. Father, now looking at your children that as they come, oh God. Father, truly, this world is a wicked world, oh God. It is truly, Lord, leading many of them, oh God, into destruction. But Lord Jesus, we know you want to save each and everyone. You want to bring them, oh God, back, oh Lord, onto where they belong. So, Lord Jesus, we pray that to God, they will come with that humility, Lord Jesus, that they will submit themselves, Lord Jesus, to every word that, Lord, will proceed out of your ministers, O Lord. We pray that to God, that humility, Lord, will be found in them, O Lord. That, Lord, they will say amen, oh, to every word of God. That they will accept, Lord Jesus, every word as their life, O God. So, Lord Jesus, we are with all expectation that something, oh God, will truly happen, oh God, in that meeting, Lord. Yes. That, Lord Jesus, something, oh God, oh, will shake up everything, Lord, and destroy everything that, Lord Jesus, is a problem, oh God, unto the children, Lord. So, Father, we pray that, oh Lord, as we come, we want to see your presence in the midst, oh Lord. We want to see you in the camp, oh God. We want to see all the Holy Spirit sweeping over and taking over control of everything, Lord Jesus. Father, we come against powers and principalities, or any evil spirit that will try to infiltrate, Lord. We pray that, Lord Jesus, your spirit will raise standards, Lord, against any infiltration, Lord Jesus. So, Father, as even this evening we have heard, oh God, let them know, oh, every strategy of the enemy. How do, Lord, combat every enemy, Lord Jesus? And Father, we pray that, oh God, as we live here, we know that we are going back, oh God, to prepare ourselves for the battle that is ahead, oh God. But we know that, Lord, you have already fought the battle for us. So, Lord Jesus, let your name be glorified among your children, O God. So, Lord Jesus, once again, we say thank you. Thank you for our pastor. The Lord Jesus, you have used him, O Lord, even to bring this meeting, Lord, to come to pass. Father, we commit all these children that will be traveling from abroad. The Lord, you grant them many mercies, Lord. Father, bring them safe here, O God. And the Lord Jesus, they will go back, oh God, with a different life, Lord. Amen. Father, once again, we say thank you. We bless you. And Lord, we want to commit our precious brother George that will be leading in songs, Lord, into your hands. Oh, the devil had wanted to do, oh, bring him down. But Lord Jesus, nothing can bring your children down, Lord. We lift him up in the name of Jesus Christ. We bring him up again, oh Lord, that Father, you use him tremendously, and all the musicians, the instruments that we will be using, oh God, Father, we pray that everything will work together, oh Lord, that your name will be glorified, Lord. Father, once again, we say thank you. We are looking forward to something very great, Lord Jesus. We know that amongst your children, there are ministers. There are great men, that Lord, yes, vessels that you want to use in the future. And so, Lord, let it be the preparation grounds, Lord, for all those children that, Lord, you want to use, oh God, for your love, for your word, oh God. And so, Lord, we pray once again, the Lord Jesus, something will happen. We are looking for it, Lord. Something will happen at the camp that we can say yes of the truth. The Lord was in our midst. So, Lord, we thank you. We bless you as even we came in, oh God. Take us back to our closest. And, Lord, from this time to the time of the meeting, Lord, let us get ourselves prepared, oh God. We commit, Lord Jesus, this coming Sunday, Lord, meetings into your hands. That once again, we are expecting that, Lord, you visit us, O Lord, mightily, O God. Committing everything to your hands, Lord Jesus. Our precious brother, David, we believe in the name of Jesus Christ that this time, O Lord, you have set everything right for him, O God. And as many that weren't able to come also, what preparation that, Lord, is going on, Father, you know how to visit them, O Lord. Amen. Let it be the same portion that we have received here, O God. Once again, we say thank you. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Keep us safe, Lord. And, Lord, when we meet again, we will continue to worship and give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen.
God bless saints, meet you Sunday by the grace of God. Amen. Do you have one to dismiss with, Brother Jordan?